Welcome. Radio.
Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is a service of Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. For those who listen to our talk show on the internet and you have questions or comments, our email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. On the last program, I read and commented on Matthew 27:45-46, but didn't get all of your comments. Got a few comments, but not all. So we'll start there. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute, except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus, and only in his name. Lord Jesus, we are your children. You suffered and died on the cross. In fact, we are studying your suffering right now in Matthew. We see how you suffered and died for us. So we thank you, Lord. We honor you. We submit ourselves unto you. Teach us, Lord Jesus. Teach us about your suffering and what it means and how we should conduct ourselves. Take charge, Lord Jesus. Take charge of this study. We pray in Jesus' name, Holy Father. Amen. All right. We stopped at Matthew 27:45-46. 27:45-46. And we got a few comments in, but the time ran out. But if anyone else wants to make a comment on that, let me just read these two verses. Matthew 27:45-46. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when we closed on the last program, we were getting comments about, do you think Jesus was truly forsaken by the Father while he was on the cross? Because the Bible does teach in the New Testament that Jesus became sin for us. And in Habakkuk chapter 1, the Bible says God cannot look on wickedness. So some believe that God genuinely forsook Jesus while he was pouring out his wrath on Jesus for our sins. The second way of looking at this is to say that Jesus was teaching, even while he was suffering and dying, he was teaching the people. Because this quote here, my God, why have you forsaken me, is the very first verse of Psalm number 22, Psalm 22, verse 1. So anyone familiar with Psalm 22, 1, hearing him say that on the cross would say that he is identifying himself with the Messiah, because Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. The third way of looking at this is the first way is that God truly did forsake Jesus. The second is that Jesus was teaching. And the third is that it seemed to Jesus that the Father had forsaken him because of everything he had gone through for hours, that it seemed to him that the Father, that Jesus in his humanity, it seemed to him in his humanity that the Father had forsaken him. So that's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we got one or two comments on this verse. Anyone else wants to comment on this?
Well, this is Sister Denise. It's really interesting how to look at those two combined verses. However, you know, when you really think about the agony that Jesus went through, it's really interesting. He came from heaven, and he had not experienced, you know, the torment and the agony and everything that he went through. He experienced it. He was, like you said, made sin, and he really experienced the magnitude of sin in the state that he was in. You know, the Word of God says, you know, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, but Jesus willingly went through all that for us to be redeemed. You know, he suffered, he died, he know what it is to have acute pain, pain that mm-hmm. was put upon him. And he went through a lot of humility, you know, having his clothes changed publicly. You know, they took his clothes off or tore them off, whatever they did, and beat him with the whip of nine tails. And, you know, they just humiliated him publicly. And, you know, in this world today, some people that stand up for Christ, they are humiliated publicly. But Jesus coming from the heavens, he was, you know, supernatural, part human, part, you know, from heaven. He experienced pain and agony, and he knew that that's a mission that he basically consented to do for our behalf.
Thank you, Sister Denise. Any other questions or comments? Well, just let me say that I tend to think that the first one is true. I don't have my feet in concrete on that question. And people can look at this different ways. I tend to think that Jesus was forsaken by the Father because he became sin for us, and God the Father poured out his wrath on Jesus. Although I do understand why it could be the third option there, that it seemed to Jesus that God had forsaken him when he really had not, because of everything he had gone through. So I just like to tell you what the way I'm leaning to understand this verse. Any more questions or comments?
This is Sister Nita. I believe that since Jesus became sin, that the Father cannot look upon sin. So he did turn mm-hmm. his back. He forsook Jesus at that time. That's my belief.
Thank you, Sister Nita. Anyone else before we go on? Any more comments on verses 45 and 46? All right, if not, let's go to verses 47 through 49. 47 through 49. Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." Some of those standing at the cross, when they heard the first part of Jesus' cry, "Eli, Eli," they thought he was calling on Elijah to save him. Eli, Eli, Elijah, Elijah. But they were wrong. Jesus was not calling on Elijah. If Jesus wanted to be saved, he wouldn't call on the prophet Elijah. He would have called on 72,000 angels whom he mentioned when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. People are still making wrong assessments of Jesus. Some say he was just a good man. Others said he was just an excellent teacher. And others that he was just a prophet. they're wrong. He was all these persons, but he was also the Son of God. And verse 48 says, someone showed him compassion by offering him sal wine, sponge, in order to deaden the pain he was experiencing. Others seemed to show no compassion at all by saying, let him alone. In other words, don't give him anything. Let's just see if the prophet Elijah will come to save him. That attitude seems to me to be really cruel. But what are your questions or comments on verses 47 through 49?
It's an example. I'm in the store, so forgive me. It's an example of how even in this world today and at that situation too, all those things he did for those, for people, and he still does, and people don't acknowledge him and turn their back on him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Susan. Anyone else with a question or comment?
This is Sister Denise. I mean, when you look at the scene during that time, you know, they were just looking at things out of their sight. They weren't necessarily spiritual, really in the spirit, to really understand everything in the spirit. They were looking at things just out of their eyes because here was a man healing and walking under the anointing, doing all these things before them. And so some were curiosity seekers to see if he would really save himself, mm-hmm. or something would happen from the cross, just from the cross where he was hung. But God did have the scene where, you know, it turned real dark and, you know, things happened where the people, I mean, it was like something to see. Like some were bewildered. I mean, you just can imagine just people, and it's obvious, you know, if they taught in the temple out of a scroll, it's not like we have today a computer, iPad. We have all these things that we could take with us to hear the word or hear the gospel. We can carry a Bible. These people were hearing the word. You know, just out of their ears, they came in and listened. And so they may not have had all the facts and how they really believed in Jesus, you know, to really understand what was going on. I just think during that time, some people believed who he was flat out, and they didn't really do anything about it, but they were spectators, and many, you know, they had their fears and doubts. So you're really looking at people that, you know, they were just, people, students that were learning and really walking with Jesus and seeing all these things. But some of them, you know, were spectators. Some of them had doubts. And, you know, it's just a whole, you know, combination of different types of people and the way they were thinking. Curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister. Thank you, Sister Denise. Anyone else with a question or comment? If not, let's go to verses 50 through 54. 50 through 54. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now here we see that Jesus cries out again with a loud voice. We just read in verse 46 that he cried with a loud voice when he asked God why he had forsaken him. Where did Jesus get such energy, such power to cry with a loud voice after all he had been through? This had to be from the Holy Spirit. Where do we believers get our strength to do supernatural, I'll say supernatural things, strong things that are very difficult for us to do? Where do we get the strength to do that? We do something very difficult, and we look back and we say, I could do that only by the power of God. I could have done that only by the power of God. So John tells us that Jesus said, it is finished, and then he died. While Luke says, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and Jesus died. So it is uncertain what was the very last words Jesus spoke with a loud voice. But it was the Holy Spirit who gave him that power to cry out with that loud voice. Now, verse 50 says, Jesus yielded up his spirit. The word translated yielded means dismissed. Jesus dismissed his spirit like a teacher dismissing her class. Now, turn with me, please, to John chapter 10. We usually don't turn to other parts of the Bible, but this is so important. Turn to John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. John chapter 10, 17 and 18. It reads this. Therefore, and this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So we see Jesus laying his life down here in Matthew. The thing that amazes me is that Jesus had the power to raise his own body from the dead. Also at John 2:19, Jesus says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. To which I say, hallelujah, what a Savior we have, that he can raise his own body, his own dead body, up from the grave, bring life to his own body. I usually wait until we finish a section of scripture before asking for questions or comments, but this verse 50 is so powerful. It tells us that God's Holy Spirit will give us the power to do very, very difficult things. Sometimes things that we don't want to face, things we don't want to do. So do you have any comments on verse 50? Anyone with comments on verse 50? In Matthew 27.
Hi, this is Sister Deborah. In a way, yes. God's telling us we should be able to lay down our lives for our brothers. And if we do that, then the reward that we will get in heaven. But if we're not doing this, we're not being the Christians that we're supposed to be, then how can we teach this to other people, because we're not willing to take that extra do it? So when he gave up his life for us, then he's asking us basically, are you willing to give up your life for your fellow man, for your brothers, your sisters? This is what I have done for you. What will you do for your brothers and sisters on this earth? We can see, and we've learned that he could have saved himself at any time during the whole procedures. But it's what will we go through for our brothers and sisters? Will we take that last step where we give up our life, where we give up our safety and everything that we have for someone else. And if we can't, then we're not walking the way we're supposed to walk. We're not talking the way we're supposed to talk. We've learned basically nothing. So unless we're willing to give up what we have for someone else and to be there for someone else, then we're not learning anything. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Sister Deborah. Anyone else with a comment on verse 50, Jesus yielding up his spirit, dismissing his spirit? If not, let's continue looking at verse 51 through 54. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, a number of things happened. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked. The rocks were split. Graves were opened. And the bodies of many saints were raised from the dead. And 3 days later, after Jesus' resurrection, they went into Jerusalem and appeared to many. Also, when the centurion and others guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, why did these things happen when Jesus dismissed his spirit? They happened because this was the most important event in human history. When Jesus died, the sacrifice for the sins of the world had been made, had been accomplished. Before Jesus' death, the veil in the temple indicated that man did not have entrance into the presence of God. But when Jesus died, the veil was torn from top to bottom, indicating that entrance into the presence of God was now possible because of Jesus' sacrifice. It was torn from top to bottom, showing that this was a work of God. If it were torn from bottom to top, someone could say, "Oh, man tore the veil. This was a human work." But it was torn from top to bottom, and only God could have done that. Verse 53 tells us that later, after Jesus' resurrection, the bodies of Old Testament saints, believers, were raised from the dead. We are not told what happened to these resurrected bodies. No doubt, they were glorified bodies, and they ascended to heaven after a period of time. But Scripture is silent on this. We don't know exactly what happened to these glorified bodies. Anyone else, any questions or comments on verses 50 through 54?
Well, this is Sister Denise. I'd just like to say, in Jesus dying, you have to really look at the Holy Spirit in the whole scene and him being crucified on the cross. And, you know, like you said, he screamed with a loud voice. The Word of God says in our weaknesses, God is made strong. And here Jesus was extremely weak. He probably had very little pulse in his body. You know, he was definitely fixated and everything else. You know, he'd been beaten and just beaten the life, literally the life out of him. But because he was the Son of God and he had humbled himself to do these things, he humbled himself before God to come down here and be the propitiation for us on the cross. You know, Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost definitely was in and on him. And the people seen a lot of things happening. You know, God was in the midst of that scene that became very dark. I mean, can you imagine he's going to up Golgotha on a street, walking, being beaten, carrying the cross, and it was sunny, And by the time they got up on this hill, it started getting real dark. And it even gives the time in the Bible. And so you just look at the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, you know, after he let up the ghost, he let the Holy Spirit, he just gave up the ghost, and he died on the cross. The power of the Holy Ghost raised those people up. And even we as believers, you know, the Word of God says, you know, we will do anything in Jesus' name. You know, if we walk with God, if his word is abiding in us and we abide in him, you know, we can ask God anything. And God can allow us to walk in that supernatural state because his word says that we're going to do greater things. And, yes, there are people today laying hands on the dead, and they're coming out of the casket. There are things being done that is reported in the news. Now, whether or not you believe that, I mean, it's up to anyone. But it's also our faith. You know, faith is the title deed of all the promises of God. So when you look at the Gospels, you're looking at all the things that have been decreed and declared by God that we can do because we're disciples of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus, and we grow in Christ. We grow. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we grow. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you, Sister
Green.
Yeah.
Sister Green. Oh, my God. How can you not believe him? They wanted a sign. What more signs could he give? The earth split. Everything happened. And then for those people, did the people see the individuals come out of the grave? If they saw them, what is wrong? Woo! My God, Jesus. Woo! The power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Green. Anyone else with questions or comments on verses 50 through 54? All right, we've got about 3 minutes. Let's go to verses 55 through 61. 55 through 61. I'll read as much as I can here. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become, who had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. So that's 55 through 61. And we have less than a minute, so I won't give any comments on these verses until the next program. Anyone else would like to make a quick comment? We have less than a minute before we close the program.
What's the other, this is Sister Joyce, what's the other Mary's last name ever known?
Yeah, it was Salome, S-A-L-O-M-E. We'll bring that out in the commentary on the next program.
Okay.
And I'll give you the reference also where it's revealed.
Okay.
So thank you, everyone, for calling in. And this has been quite a good study of the crucifixion of our Lord and his resurrection. Well, not his resurrection yet, but the reaction of people to what to his crucifixion. So we look forward to going further into this. God bless you all. Thank you for calling in. Goodbye.
Bye.